Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. Food trucks have become a part of our landscape. We love the variety, the ease, the price, and the pure deliciousness. But owning a food truck business, and a successful one at that, takes perseverance, skill, experience, and maybe a little luck along the way, or a lot of luck. Kirk Francis and his wife, Julianne, own Captain Cookie and the Milkmen, operating in the D.C. area and serving fresh-baked cookies, local creamery milk, and made-to-order ice cream sandwiches. And Kirk is here with me today. Did I get that right? Is that the scope of what you're offering?
You did. It summarizes pretty nicely.
Okay. Well, and a lot of people around the area see your truck, and as have I, and sampled it along the way. So let's talk about the business. We'll get into what you're doing now to grow the business and all that, but let me start way back when, and I understand your love affair with cookies started at age 4. Tell us about how you turned a childhood passion into a livelihood and a business.
Well, initially I was very bad at turning it into a business because I just gave them away all through elementary school, middle school, high school, college. I was at least once a week to be found with a Tupperware under my arm, like trying, hey, try this new batch or try this. Here, have a cookie. And it was a great ego boost because, of course, everyone compliments you when you're giving out free cookies. They're like, oh, these are so great. You should sell these.
Great way to make friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not just a good story. You really were like making cookies a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You could go back to Jinx East Elementary and ask people, hey, did this guy like make cookies in the fifth grade? And they would say, like, I don't know who you're talking about. But if you went back and found a teacher, they would eventually corroborate my story, I'm pretty sure. So I've been making them my whole life. I've been obsessed with cookies myself. I'm a fiend for them. At a certain age, I would consume them and nothing else if left to my own devices.
Yeah.
And I just practiced my recipes, not meaning to practice, just kind of becoming gradually obsessed with, like, can I make the perfect chocolate chip cookie, something so inexpressibly delicious that no one would want to eat anything else. And that was just a side hobby as I was, you know, going through school. I briefly thought about going to culinary school instead of college, but my dad expressed that while he would be willing to help pay for part of college, he would have nothing to do with me if I went to culinary school.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
It worked out.
And I'm actually glad that I went to college instead, because working in the food business does not necessarily corroborate with owning a food business.
Right.
Because I worked at a bakery for 3 years during college, and I made $7.50 an hour. I eventually rose to $8.25 an hour by my third year. But that's not the sort of thing that's going to let you build up enough money to actually start a food truck or a brick and mortar.
Right.
So I was able to get a job as a contractor for Homeland Security. Moved up here in 2008.
So a different direction.
Completely different.
From cookies, all right.
Yep. I continued doing cookies on the side and bringing them into work. And one day, one of my coworkers was like, you know, I go to this coffee shop, Sadamo, on 8th Street, and their pastries are awful. You have good cookies. Maybe they could sell them. And I was like, I'll try. So I just basically bombed them with free cookies for a month and a half until they finally acquiesced and let me put a jar of cookies next to their cash register. And they did really well. And so for 3 years, that was the business, was me getting up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, making a bunch of cookies, delivering them to Northeast DC, and then driving out to Fairfax for my day job.
That is awesome. And I don't know, I didn't go to business school, but I don't know if you're supposed to give stuff away for free for a while. Maybe that's part of a strategy that works, but that's so cool that it worked out. And you eventually started growing that, it sounds like.
I still am a little bit surprised, pleasantly so, that it has worked out and I am making money and supporting myself with cookies. It really didn't seem, it was one of those things where you joke about, but like I did not really expect. I had to really temper my expectations when I was young. Like, this probably isn't going to work out. Everyone's seeing the stats that half of all food businesses fail in the first year and 2/3 after 3 years. So I had steeled myself my whole life for the fact that, like, this is just going to be a hobby. You can try it, you'll have done a good job of trying, and then you can go back to whatever you're actually going to make money at.
So eventually you bought trucks and turned it into a little bit more than just the counter in the morning.
Right. Yeah. After 3 years of that, I looked at what I had been doing and my hours and all that, and it ended up being about $2.25 an hour that I was making, supplying cookies wholesale.
Yeah.
And around that time, the very first food trucks were appearing in D.C. One of the early ones was Pleasant Pops, which a friend and colleague of mine from UNC had started. And he quit his job after a few months just to sell popsicles on the street. And I thought, well, if he can do it with popsicles, surely I can try it with cookies.
Why not?
Yeah. So I didn't quit my job right away. I bought a used Washington Post delivery van from Selbyville, Delaware, off Craigslist, drove it home, spent a year working with some friends and gutting it and turning it into a mobile little bakery with an oven, a sink, a fridge, a freezer, hot and cold running water, propane, electricity, all that jazz. And it was finally ready in February of 2012, and that's when I left my job and started selling cookies on the street.
Okay, so 6 years or so.
Right.
You've been doing it officially in a food truck. So I want to shift gears. Let's talk a little bit, or shift gears in the sense that I want to talk about the food truck business overall. It certainly seems like around here we see new ones all the time. But like all businesses, especially ones connected to food, we see ebbs and flows. What's your experience been so far with the food truck business overall?
When we first started out in 2012, it was a rocket ride. You could not make cookies fast enough. Crowds would just show up because you were a food truck.
Right.
And they wanted to try it. And when it turned out that our cookies actually were good and we did work hard at customer service and we did go out every day, people were even more enthusiastic about it. And I had really almost had no choice. We were getting complaints because we weren't able to go to all the different locations that people were asking us. We would get requests for events that were simultaneous. And so we had to build another truck. And then after that, we had to build two more trucks.
Yeah.
So that's how it grew to four, was just thinking, okay, people seem to like us selling cookies, milk, and ice cream out of this truck. Let's do more of that. Pretty simple business plan. And so that's what we did for a few years, is we just were trying to keep pace with all the demand that we were getting. But compared with our first 3 years, the last three have changed dramatically.
Yeah.
When we first started, 95 to 100% of our money was coming from Monday through Friday vending at lunches downtown in D.C., Franklin Square, Union Station,
Yeah. These
kind of busy places. People would get their Korean tacos, and then they would get a cookie or an ice cream sandwich for dessert. That has begun ebbing sharply over the last few years. Many people would say that our revenues are down about 50% from what they were 3 years ago. Fortunately, most of us, our older food trucks, have diversified along the way. Either we saw this coming or we just naturally kind of wanted to try some new stuff. But your successful food trucks now have their fingers in a few other pots, like catering or online delivery, or perhaps starting a brick and mortar or transitioning completely to a brick and mortar. One truck goes on a 3-month-long festival tour to Bonnaroo.
These are other
life.
Businesses that you, okay, that you're aware of.
Right.
Right.
The Big Cheese, the grilled cheese truck, has decided that he's going to just go on the road for the entire summer.
That
he
sounds
road
great.
Trips.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I think he just wants to go on road trips.
Well, and festivals, all you need is grilled cheese anyway, so that's perfect.
Apparently, he can sell $50,000 worth of grilled cheese
Holy
at Bonnaroo
cow.
Over 4 days. So it's lucrative as well as being fun. But, CatMac turned into mostly a catering business. Taquerian obviously has been very successful. They have, I think, 4 local Taquerian chains, and then others have kind of branched the divide. We've added 2 brick and mortar stores, and we've also done a great deal of catering, special events, we have online ordering now. So we're trying to continue to meet people wherever they want cookies, because more and more people want cookies to come to them,
mm-hmm.
or they want somewhere that doesn't involve them going outside and standing in a line for food trucks.
That's interesting. I mean, I can understand the proliferation of trucks and how the business has gotten tougher. Just is that part of it, too, just the volume of trucks out there?
That's part of it. There's a lot of trucks out there.
The initial excitement has also waned.
Indeed, which it does with any food trend. Cupcakes
had
their day in the sun.
Yeah.
Donuts are having their day in the sun right now. Most food trends last 5 to 10 years.
Right.
And I don't think food trucks are going anywhere permanently. I think they've come to stay, but they're no longer the bright, shiny object that everyone was just ecstatic about because it was.
Right.
They now have to stand on their own. They have to be quality. They have to be reliable in order to maintain themselves as part of the food landscape of D.C.
Another thing you've done along the way is open a large commercial kitchen and food hall in a neighborhood in D.C. called Brooklyn. Tell us about how you've expanded there and why. It sort of flows with what you've been talking about, just a different business model.
Sure.
What's a food hall, for those who don't know?
A food hall is a large building, well, medium to large size building that has multiple small vendors inside.
Right.
So you walk in kind of like a food court in a mall, and you're going to have a lot of smaller restaurants. In the case of our food hall, we have five savory vendors. We have a Bullfrog Bagels, Ball or Nothing, which does meatballs, a steak and cheese place, tacos and empanadas. We have Urban Fusion, which is Filipino and Ethiopian food. And they're all serving lunch daily and dinner.
So like a smaller version, if you've been to like Boston Faneuil Hall, like the giant, it's been there forever, but this is sort of a very new version of that with very local restaurants, not chains.
Exactly. You're not going to find a Chick-fil-A right. or an Arby's in the food
not
hall.
Not a food hall. Yeah.
These are 100% locally owned and locally started businesses. Right. And a lot of them, this is their first foray into a brick and mortar of any kind.
So it's a great way to get into a brick and mortar, as you say, try it out, see how it does, get customers, get feedback, word of mouth, and then grow from there if you can.
Absolutely.
Without having to start your own store.
Exactly, which is what food trucks did a few years ago because they lowered the barrier to entry dramatically for any chefs, which many times is great because you may have a great idea, maybe you are going to succeed, but you don't have $100,000 to build out a restaurant or to take, or you can't, don't have the financial credibility to convince a landlord to give you a 5-year lease. And so somehow, hook or by crook, you scrape up $15,000 or $30,000 or $50,000, whatever it takes to start your food truck, and you can try it. And yeah, it's a risk, but it's not nearly so much as a risk.
Are food halls the new food trucks?
I think they are. There's always, the food entrepreneurs are always going to try and find whatever is the smallest barrier to entry, the way that they can get their feet wet in the marketplace. And a food hall with like a low commitment, a tiny square footage, gives you the chance to really decide, like, is my gourmet chicken soup concept going to work? Or am I going to sit here with nobody coming in day after day and realize that, you know what, I tried it and this is actually not going to work. Good thing I lost $1,000 instead of $100,000.
Well, and I've been there, as you know, Tastemakers, right, in D.C., and it's really cool, and sampled several of the restaurants, and it was fun to visit. I want to move on to, we could talk about that a lot, but I want to move on to another important part of your business philosophy, which is giving back, and specifically donating and supporting charities that aim to end hunger. Tell us about why that's an important part of your mission.
Well, we're very fortunate. We are selling cookies, and they are a discretionary food. They are not some most no one that
to
I know.
To most people.
Yeah, to most people. I would live on cookies if it were socially acceptable. And if I wouldn't, you know, die before I was 40.
Right.
But most people, cookies are not a requirement. They are just a little extra gift or a blessing on top of the rest of their day. And we're very fortunate to be able to have those and to be able to make a living selling these little tiny round joyful items that people enjoy. But we're extremely cognizant the whole time that while we're able to do this and we love our customers and we love providing cookies to them, there's a lot of people for whom that's completely out of reach. And in fact, sometimes the essential food items are out of reach as well. And so we don't want to forget that ever. My wife and I volunteered at the Capillary Food Bank and at the DC Central Kitchen long before we started Captain Cookie the Milkman. And as the business has grown, we've been able to make a larger and larger impact through cookies. We've been able to staff booths at the Blue Jeans Ball to raise funds for the food bank, or the Food Fight to raise funds for the DC Central Kitchen.
So local charities in the DC area, right?
Exactly. No Kid Hungry, Share a Strength is another one that we support. So we end up, you know, donating $5,000 to $10,000 a year through these food charities. And we also participate in education seminars where we go and be a guest lecturer with DC Central Kitchen's job training program to help, like, we bring a food truck over, show them how a food truck's put together, how they can start one, business pitfalls to avoid. We'll take some of their people into our facility as well to show them what a working kitchen looks like. And we have a bread coin program where people can spend a bread coin, which then provides a meal for a hungry person. So any way that we can focus on helping end hunger locally, we want to do that. It's a you know, our motto is saving the world one cookie at a time, and that's kind of grandiose. So we find that, like, when you really focus, you can find need nearby, probably in your neighborhood, if you're actually, like, keeping your eyes open and looking around for it. So that's where we want to make our impact.
$5,000 to $10,000 is not a small amount of money for any size business, a smaller business on your end. So that's amazing that you're doing that. It's great. So I can vouch for how delicious the cookies are. Kirk has brought a box of cookies. I've tried the chocolate chip today, so thank you. And I'm sure you get asked this a lot. What's your favorite?
Chocolate chip.
Okay. Just, I mean, it's the classic.
I've eaten three so far today.
Well, and you've done an amazing job. You're relatively, well, you are lean. So I'm sure you get that too. But eating cookies for a long time, it could be a different scenario.
It could be. If I ever retire from actively, like, helping run the trucks in the stores, right, like, it could be that I'll balloon at that. Like an NFL linebacker who retires or something.
Right. You're right. You're right. As long as you're moving around, you're okay.
Yep.
Thanks a million for coming in today. And it's great work you guys are doing. It's just exciting to see what is happening, I think, with your business with Food Halls. And we'll keep a lookout for more from you guys down the road.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks to Kirk Francis, co-owner of Captain Cookie and the Milkman. Tell our listeners where they can find you online and also in the real world.
Online, CaptainCookieDC.com or CaptainCookieDC on Twitter and Facebook. And in the real world, One Store is at 2000 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Tastemakers is at 2800 10th Street Northeast in the Brooklyn neighborhood.
Maybe more stores to come soon?
We are building one in Raleigh right
now. Oh, good. We can talk about it. Okay. In North Carolina. All right.
500 East Davies Street in Raleigh, North Carolina as part of the Transfer Company Food Hall.
Where food halls are a pretty big deal.
They are. Yeah. There's three opening this year in the Triangle area.
Very cool. All right, Kirk Francis, thanks again. And for the Better Business, Better Series, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.